October 23rd, 1994, interview with Dr. Marian Olson. Dr. Olson?
Yes.
Could you tell me your full name?
Marian Edna Olson.
And where were you born?
Newman Grove, Nebraska.
Where in Nebraska?
Newman Grove.
Could you spell that as it?
N-E-W-M-A-N Grove, G-R-O-V-E.
And could you tell me your parents' names?
My mother's name was Ethel Hoagland, H-O-U-G-L-A-N-D. And then Olson, of course, on the tail end of it. And Edward Olson was my father's name.
And where did you go to school?
O'Neill, Nebraska. That's where I went to grade school and high school.
And college?
College, University of Nebraska for 2 degrees. I have a diploma, nursing diploma, and a baccalaureate in nursing from University of Nebraska. University of Iowa. I have a master's in nursing and a master's in psychology from there.
Okay.
And UCLA. I have a doctorate in psychology.
Okay. How do you think that World War II changed your life and your college experience?
Well, it speeded up my nursing school because of the Cadet Nurse Corps, and it changed our class scattered over the world. I didn't see any more of my class until the 50-year class reunion. I lost my fiance in the war. Let's see, what else? Just we became very involved in our careers and worked hard afterwards.
You said you lost your fiance
in
the war?
I was engaged when I went into nursing school. It was a high school boyfriend.
He went off to war?
Yeah.
Where did he get sent to?
He got sent to Germany, to Europe. Like a lot of others.
Yeah. Where were you at when you found out that he'd been killed?
In Omaha.
In Omaha? And were you at
Anderson
School?
I was in school.
Yeah.
See, the war started 3 months, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor 3 months after I entered nursing school. So I was there for 3 more years, almost 3 months.
How did you find out?
His parents were notified, and I went and they notified me.
Yeah.
That's something I just forget.
Yeah. That's a big change. What was the... You went into, as a result of World War II, your nursing program changed, and the Nurse Cadet Corps, United States Cadet Nurse Corps?
Yeah, that's right. The purpose was to bring more nurses into training, but also to speed us up, the ones that were in, so we could take over RN positions. Actually, we were taking over RN positions in the hospital itself before we were even at the end of our cadet period. But then I went out as a visiting nurse in Omaha for my senior cadet period.
How many of the students in your school were in the cadet corps?
100%. All of them.
Wow. And did you served in the visiting nurses, so were you associated with the hospital?
No.
For the
No. I was. It's a visiting nurse association, and they have a visiting nurse. They had their own administrators. We were just assigned there as a nurse, and we worked as RNs. Like RNs did actually.
And I asked you this a little earlier, asked if you followed international news before the war, how much you knew about what was going on in the world before the war.
Well, yes, I did, because, shall I say why I followed the news?
Yeah.
Because I was the paper girl. And for all the time I was in high school, I delivered papers. And
what paper were you delivering?
Omaha World Herald. And I read it every day. For one thing, because I sold it on the streets, and everybody had to know what was in it. But I was just interested. My father had been in the war. My father was interested. My father had been in the First World War, and he was interested. And I was just interested.
Yeah.
So yes, I kept ahead.
How common was it to have paper girls? Were there many other paper girls?
Well, no. When I went a trip to Chicago for getting new paper customers, there were 18 girls and 182 boys on that trip.
Oh, wow. That's kind of a nice ratio, I guess, if you're a little girl looking for boys.
It was fun.
And did you think that the U.S. would be drawn into the conflict, into the World War?
I was not an isolationist like a lot of people were. Yes, I thought they'd be drawn in. They had to be.
At what point did you think early on that they were going to be, before Pearl Harbor?
We were kind of dragging our feet before that. When England was getting it so badly, you know, I thought we were letting them down.
Why did you serve in the United States? You said you were classified as an essential civilian, as opposed to working with the Army.
Well, they classified the nurses the same way the men were classified, you know, 4F or whatever. And I was classified by the government as an essential civilian. They wouldn't take me to Europe the war was over in Europe anyway, and people.
Yeah.
The nurses were being sent to the South Pacific at that point. So they didn't really need us that badly by that time.
Yeah, kind of winding down. And this is kind of a broad question. How do you think that the war changed women's roles?
Well, they went to work in the war factories, and my father taught what we call Rosie the Riveters, that went to work building ships and things, my aunt was working in a factory that women never had worked in before.
Yeah.
All of these kinds of things. They were the only ones left at home to sort of take over the other kind of business and work.
Yeah.
So I would say it was the beginning of the change in roles in women as far as responsibility for more things, industry, and also managing homes and managing family and that sort of thing.
Your life probably would have been very different if it weren't for the war.
Yeah.
A lot of women in that generation, I guess.
Yeah. Actually, I never had a problem with it. With a lot of problems that women have with not being able to do things they want to do because they were in. I never did have that problem, but then I was lucky.
Yeah.
A lot of women did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to do a quick check here.
Okay.
Feedback.
Okay.
What we're going to talk about now is a little bit about the Red Cross, because you've been involved a little bit with the Red Cross, I guess. You've been on call for them for a number of years. When did you first become associated with the Red Cross?
When I was a senior in training.
So when you were in the Cadet Corps?
Cadet Corps didn't really have anything to do with it. Just most of our class were volunteering for Red Cross kinds of things, if they were needed. This is like things in the United States, not necessarily war things, but other kinds of disasters or other kinds of problems where that needed help.
Okay. And so what did you do for the Red Cross? You were on call for...
Well, yeah, right after, so what I did for the Red Cross actually was right after I finished nurses training, and I got called to a hospital in Kearney, Nebraska, Kearney.
Okay.
The tuberculosis hospital, because the staff were all on strike, and so we were sent out for a couple of weeks, and then somebody else would come, and somebody else would come.
And you said the patients in the hospital supported the...
They supported the staff. They thought they should be on strike and gave us a really bad time for a while.
What kinds of things did they do to make your life difficult?
Well, they wouldn't do what you asked them to do. Like, one of the, because they were so short of help, like I had like 120 patients and 60 patients on the unit, and we would ask them to take their own temperature, and we would time it for them, and they wouldn't do it. Okay.
Yeah.
Or take their own pulse, and we would time it for them, and they wouldn't do it. So you go around to get it, and they hadn't done it. And, you know, just any kind of thing to sort of stop you. Also, they would fuss at us and talk nasty at us.
Yeah.
Because we were following up their nurses, and I finally said, we, you know, I didn't come here to stop the strike. I didn't come here to replace the nurses because of the strike. I can't stay here very long. I'm away from my own job.
Yeah.
And I only came to take care of you until they get things settled between themselves.
Did you kind of empathize with the...
I did.
The yeah. Marquette Hospital over here recently on strike?
Yes, I did. Actually, when I was in Kauai, my own nurses went on strike, and I even empathized with them at the time. They should have, and they did.
Yeah.
But midlife rough for a while.
Yeah, it's a tough profession to go on strike.
Yeah.
Because you're so needed.
Well, yeah. I was the director of nursing, so I wasn't on strike. I was trying to run the hospital without any nurses.
Yeah. Put you in a pretty tough position. And when you were at Northern Michigan University,
yeah,
were you still associated with the Red Cross then, years later?
Not really. I wouldn't say really. I would have gone if they called me, but I wasn't on their list at that point.
Okay.
The only kinds of things that I did where the Red Cross was involved was the taking care of the typhoid patients, and this is while I was still a student at Omaha when the Missouri River flooded. Then when I was in Texas, the Texas City disaster, I was on the staff then. I wasn't working for the Red Cross. The Red Cross came in, but we were already there.
Okay.
At the Texas City disaster.
So you may have worked with them, but you weren't working for the Red Cross.
And, you know, thank goodness they were there. Like, that's how we ate. We'd go tearing around and grab a sandwich out of one of the Red Cross boxes on the way. And
busy times, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. This is just for your benefit, but it's a letter I wrote home to my parents.
Oh, wow. It says, Miss Marian Olson, RN, tells of experiences in Galveston Hospital after Texas City disaster. This was in the...
In the 40s.
Okay.
47.
And this was in the paper?
It's in my hometown newspaper, yeah. Oh. I sent a letter to my folks.
This is the one that you delivered for? This?
No, that this was just a little Hope County Independent, the local paper.
Neat. Oh, that's pretty neat. And they printed it in the paper.
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
You could...
I'd like to make a copy of that if I could.
Okay.
If possible.
As long as I get it back.
Yes.
It's the only copy I have.
Yes, definitely. Okay, great. I want to ask you about your time at Northern Michigan University.
Yeah.
But leading up to that, you were associated with nursing programs at several other universities before coming there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You want to tell me a little bit about...
Okay.
What led up to coming to Northern?
That's
a lot, I know.
You mean what I did before I came to Northern, or why I came to Northern?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's start with why I came to Northern
in
the first place.
Okay.
I retired from the University of Hawaii, and I planned to stay retired. And I came to the Upper Peninsula because this is where you need to come back to the mainland to retire. And this is where we bought land and prepared to retire here. My housemate originally came from the Upper Peninsula, so we were visiting and found the land and bought it. Okay. So I wasn't intending to go back to work, but I was still listed on the National Nursing Administration consultant list. Okay. So I went to work as a consultant first for NMU. For a couple of years I worked as a consultant, helping them with their continuing education program and with their, and I wrote a grant proposal and these kinds of things, just whatever they needed at that point.
Okay.
And at the same time, I also taught some psychology courses I taught a nursing course for them in Escanaba.
Oh, you taught about in Escanaba?
Yeah, this was a NMU course, though. They were helping their associate degree nurses get a baccalaureate degree, and they needed to teach a course here, and I taught a couple courses, actually. One was a psychology course they needed as a...
Yeah.
And the other one was a nursing course. And then I taught a psychology course in Iron Mountain, and I did that for Northern, just because.
Oh, and what year did you come to Northern?
I came to the Upper Peninsula in 1982, and then I went to work for Northern full-time, as a full-time professor in 84, and in between I worked as a consultant. I also was working as a consultant in other places too. Okay?
Okay.
But before that, I was at the university. When I graduated, I went to the University of Texas Medical Branch, and then I came back to Iowa to work on my baccalaureate degree. And I actually got my baccalaureate from Nebraska, but I took liberal arts courses at Iowa. And I went to, and I worked there then. I was in Iowa for 12 years, and during that time, I got on the Iowa study, which is a study of nursing practice, as a researcher, and the USPHS people decided I ought to go to graduate school because I didn't have a degree in, I didn't have a master's at that point. So that's when I got my UHPHS special nurse fellowship. They were trying to develop nurses at the PhD level so we could start PhDs in nursing. There weren't any at that point. So I got two masters at Iowa, one in nursing. That was as far as you could go in nursing at that point. And then I knew I was going to get my doctorate in psychology, so I got a master's in psychology.
What made you decide to go for a doctorate in psychology?
That was the closest thing, it's in social psychology, and that was the closest thing to nursing administration, which is what I was doing and the kind of research I was doing. That's what I thought.
It fit in.
It was the most useful in what I was planning to do in the future, which was nursing administration and nursing administration research. And I'd never planned to be a professor. I got my PhD at UCLA, and they had a very strong dean in the School of Nursing at UCLA, and she conned me into going to work as a professor. So then I decided I better keep at that for a while to see if I really liked it. And I went, and the dean at the University of Hawaii had been on the faculty with me at UCLA, and I went out to Hawaii first as a consultant for her, a curriculum consultant, and they recruited me. So I went to Hawaii, and I was in Hawaii for 15 years, and 8 of it on the faculty and 7 of it as a director of nursing and on Kauai. Then I retired.
And you said it wasn't very comfortable to be there?
No.
Yeah.
It's not the place to be if you're going to retire as a Caucasian.
Yeah,
and also the retirement pay it works better in here.
Yeah.
It's cheaper here.
Expensive to live there.
All right. Okay. But in the meantime, while I was still at Iowa in graduate school, I was teaching workshops all around the country, in Texas and in Texas and Kentucky and and Kansas. And then when I was at UCLA, I also taught workshops in the Midwest.
A workshop for mainly on nursing administration?
Yeah, or something like that. I taught with the dean once in Arkansas, and I was teaching people who didn't have statistics and measurement background to do research without it in nursing practice. And then I got recruited after UCLA. I taught at UCLA for 2 years after I got my doctorate. Then I went to Hawaii. And when I was in Hawaii, I also came back to the mainland and did workshops. And I went to the South Pacific and to Micronesia, which is not really South Pacific, and did workshops. Huh. So that's the kind of thing I did.
Quite a bit of traveling.
Yeah, right. When I was in Hawaii, 15 years, I made 72 trips to the mainland.
Wow. Wow.
My mileage plus is pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Okay.
Frequent flyer miles.
I'm a United Airlines flyer, so I'm on mileage plus. And I always flew United because it never went down in the water.
That's a good point when you're flying from Hawaii.
Right.
To Micronesia. Yeah, good point. Okay. So NMU hired you to get that program started, the graduate program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. They hired me to do that, and the first year I was there, I wrote the grant proposal to support it, and also developed all the paperwork you have to develop and get okayed through the Graduate Programs Committee and all that stuff.
And what foundation or body gave you the...
U.S. Public Health Service.
U.S. Public Health Service gave you
HHS, yeah.
To start the...
Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I had gotten grants from them before, so they knew who I was.
Yeah. I think, did they... is that where the United States Cadet Nurse Corps came out of, from that branch of the government?
To tell the truth, I don't really know. That was so long ago, I can't remember. Probably.
Yeah, I think it is. Huh.
But I had gotten a grant. I'd worked on a grant. I first met those people in Iowa when I was on the Iowa study, and I helped write the grant proposal for the Iowa study. Then I had helped write a grant proposal for University of Hawaii, and I chaired that program when I was out there. And then again, I wrote a grant to develop the nursing administration. They already had a big graduate program, but they didn't have a nursing administration major. And I wrote the grant to develop that at the University of Hawaii.
Okay.
And those were all USPHS grants.
Okay. And the program at Northern was nursing administration?
I was developing the nursing program, but the first major was nursing administration, because at that point I was the only faculty member.
Yeah.
And that's what I teach.
What did the grant cover? What?
Development of a master's program, total. And
so it would be
it was a 3-year grant, and in that 3 year we put in the administration the first year, then the next year we put in a med-surg major also.
A what major?
Medical surgical major.
Medical surgical.
Uh-huh. And that's, I left it with that. I was there for 3 more years through the grant. And I knew I was going to retire again at the end of the grant.
Yeah.
So before I retired, I wrote another grant for 2 years, but wrote myself out of it and left them with 2 years to continue running the program.
And so by that time, did they already have other faculty on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were several faculty before I left. Had to be. Couldn't handle all that. Actually, other faculty were helping. Were teaching some of the courses anyway, although they weren't considered to be on my faculty, or on the graduate faculty.
You were pulling them in from over there.
Yeah.
Like you got pulled in to the psychology?
Yeah, right. Right.
That's funny. So the grant originally was for, it was a 4-year grant, and then you wrote
3-year.
3-year grant?
And then 2 more years. The first year, they